College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast is driven by West Point Lincoln at Katy Freeway. 1 mile west of the Beltway, exit Kirkwood, under the giant American flag.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It was just everyone executing. We had opportunities there. It was just everybody executing, and especially it comes down to third down, and we knew what this game would be. It's situational football, right? Third down, we didn't execute well, and in the red zone, offensively, defensively, we didn't play well in the red zone, and that's the game there, right? So if we want to be better and win these games, we have to execute in situational football.
Okay. We know that. You got to execute in situational football. He was very hesitant to direct, he being D'Amico Ryans, was very hesitant to direct any specific criticism at C.J. Stroud yesterday in the press conference. You know, C.J. had one of his worst games. What do you think of that? Well, you know, Everybody, and it's true, everybody did need to play better, but he's a quarterback.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that's just, he can't be doing that, man. Nope. It was as bad a performance we've seen out of C.J. Stroud.
It was the worst performance.
In a regular season game, a preseason game, anything. There's just so many easy passes that he misfired on that there's no excuse for it. There's all kinds of issues on the offense. I mean, Bobby Slowick is not excused whatsoever. It's the entire operation at this point. And the problem is that it's gotten worse and worse and worse.
It's gotten worse.
Initially after the game, I said, okay, this is a step backwards. And then I realized, like, no, you know what? This is the culmination of a lot of things that we've been seeing. It's almost like it's the logical end of where they've been headed.
This was the bye coming at week 14 was, I think, in a lot of ways unfortunate. You know, that's a late bye to have. But it comes at a time where Bobby pointed out, well, we had plenty of games to look at to self-scout during the bye.
Yeah.
We can find some things that we do well and find what we do poorly and maybe try to stress those things, lean on those. This gives us time to do this. We're not scouting an opponent. We're scouting ourselves. So the hope was that they come out of the bye week an improved unit, that they come out of the bye week a better team offensively. And you were going to need to go against the teams that you were facing, the Dolphins, the Chiefs, and the Ravens in a short period of time. This is, to me, in a season full of damning things for Bobby Slowick, this is the most damning thing to me. The Texans came out of the bye week. Again, the part of the calendar where you're really supposed to be able to at least find some things where you can show incremental improvement.
Mm-hmm.
They are averaging 234 yards per game on offense since coming out of the bye against the Dolphins, the Chiefs, and the Ravens. And I know you're going to say, well, the Chiefs are a really good defense. The Ravens are a defense that's playing better, and they're the Ravens. The Dolphins are whatever. Ironically, they had their worst performance against the Dolphins in a game they won. They had less than 200 yards of total offense. They are averaging 234 yards per game on offense since the bye. For some context, the worst offense in football is the New York Giants. Really bad if you've watched any Giants games this year. Like, horrifically bad. Daniel Jones cut bad in the middle of the season. Tommy DeVito bad. Drew Locke bad. Really bad. They're averaging 292 yards of offense a game. The horrible New York Giants are averaging 292 yards of offense a game. This Bobby Slowick-led offense for the Texans is averaging nearly 60 yards less than that since the bye week. That's what the bye week did for the Texans.
And I'll tell you the other thing about the bye week was that after the bye week, when asked what does the offense do well, Bobby Slowick said explosive plays. And like that's not actually a good thing
that
if that's the only thing you can come up with. Like, tell me about all the things that lead to the explosive plays. Well, in reality, a lot of the explosive plays are just Nico Collins being a hero or Joe Mixon being a hero. It's a diet of sugar packets and cocaine. Like, you know, like it's like, you can't rely on that. That's not, you can't take a recreational activity and say that's your diet.
Right.
That needs to be something that's like amped up on top of, you know, hey, I do everything right. I'm going to splurge a little bit with some sugar and cocaine. No, they're going into actual games being like, what are we going to do well this week?
Explosive.
Yeah.
Shots.
This offense has been a picture, the mugshot procession of somebody like what meth will do to you. You know, beginning of the season, it was a pretty young lady. And then, like, by after the 17th mugshot, it looks like the Texans' offense.
Bobby's got no teeth.
Just a bedraggled mess.
Yeah, yeah.
How old is that offense? 97?
No.
That quarterback's actually 23 years old.
36, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we had a caller. I forget who it was. If you're listening, my apologies. We had a caller to the postgame show last night make a great point about the explosives. That Bobby's like, yeah, we do explosives really well. Well, yeah. You're in 3rd and 14 all the time. By necessity, you have to throw explosives. This isn't like Joe Mixon gets you in 2nd and 2, and now you got the whole playbook available. So this is when we can take a shot downfield to Nico. Like, no, this is, you're in 3rd and 15 all the time. So CJ's running for his life and then just either heaving it to a wide open Nico because he always gets open, or doing what he did yesterday and just throwing it near Dalton Schultz and hoping
he catches
it.
What's your company really good at? You ask a CEO, what's your company really good at? Tell you what, we've come out of bankruptcy 3 times pretty admirably,
pretty strong.
I think. You know, every time we enter bankruptcy, I think we make a comeback, and that's good.
Yeah.
We anticipate
doing it again later this year.
Well, and Clint made a really good comment up in the press box last night, and it was after a play where either CJ had taken a sack or they tried something downfield.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, when you're trying to hang your hat on explosive plays, it's a mindset of like always going for the explosive plays.
Right.
Instead of just having a good, healthy diet.
Yeah.
You know,
and you're not that team. There are teams that are good enough to get away with, like, yeah, you know what? We're going to explosive play these guys to death.
If you had, the wide, but even when they had the wide receivers, the few times they had all 3 of their top wide receivers on the field, they still weren't. It wasn't consistent enough to be banking on that.
Diggs never once
looked like it should look.
Diggs was averaging under 10 yards a catch.
Yeah.
And Tank wasn't seeing the ball.
Right.
You know, yeah, you're right.
So you're right. You know what? Like, in him saying that we're good at explosive plays, like, no, you're not actually even good at that.
Yeah.
You're just, Sean, you said it perfectly. When you're in 3rd and forever all that many times, yeah, you're going to have some explosive plays every now and then, but it's not, it doesn't solve the core problem.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Let's see. I do not think the next game is important for CJ to play. Maybe just play part of the game. He needs to watch a game so he can see from a different angle, third person, then come back to the playoffs. I think CJ needs to play. I think
mystery
the whole
injury.
Offense needs to play. I think the offense should play 60 minutes.
This is an off-season issue. Whether they make a decision on Bobby Slowick or whatever else, if they don't, you know, if they retain Bobby Slowick, it has to come with an accurate identification of what is leading to this offensive malfeasance.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's something systemically wrong. So, if they got to recognize that.
Well,
it can't be a whole bunch of like, oh, that's just a narrative, or no, actually, this isn't that bad.
You're 100% right if they keep Bobby Slowick. Here's what just the... And I'm not saying you're advocating for that, but I'm saying if they keep him, what you're saying is 100% right. If that were the case, if they do that, this is where they would lose me. So you're saying we've got to fix the guy that's supposed to fix the guy.
Right.
We're supposed to worry about fixing Bobby Slowick while our franchise quarterback is turning into mush before our very eyes.
You know, and some of it might be with the player personnel, and maybe some of your veteran leadership isn't as good as you maybe think they are, or how they're paid.
Okay.
I mean, there's that part of it, too.
Okay.
When it comes to, like, oh, the culture. When I look at what the... Because when I watch the Ravens and the Steelers play... Those are the two organizations I admire the most for their ability to consistently draft just hard-headed or hard-nosed, tough football players. I feel like they've done a pretty good job of that on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think so too.
They don't feel tough and hard-nosed on the offensive side of the ball.
Not even close.
So the way the offense is playing, there's multiple things going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I heard the end of the broadcast last night where Greg Olsen was given a lot of duly earned praise to John Harbaugh for being a guy that just cultivates and brings along coaches. The one part where I would disagree with Greg is that, you know, you could still criticize Harbaugh for waiting too long to change offensive coordinators.
No doubt.
You know, for years and years, we wondered, well, is it Greg Roman or is it Lamar Jackson that's keeping him from genuinely developing?
They burned seasons doing that.
Right. And they finally made a change of coordinator. And, man, Lamar Jackson is a different dude in this Todd Monken offense.
He is.
He is just the fully developed and polished package. So, yes, John Harbaugh deserves a lot of credit for a lot of the things that he's been able to do with that football team. But he probably... looking at it now, hindsight 2020, he probably waited too long to make a coordinator
probably
change.
Probably so. Yeah, probably so. Hey, speaking of changing personnel, I don't know if you can change this guy out. His contract might be too big. And he is, despite the failure of the offensive line, probably their best offensive lineman. Did you see what the vet did after the game yesterday? Laremy Tunsil?
I saw he Instagram posted something about his cleats.
He's very proud of his cleats.
I didn't have the energy to dig into why people were upset about it.
He was very proud of his cleats. And so they're autographed. The I believe the picture, the post is Laremy sharing something from the guy who designed the shoes, is what Amy told me, at Mache275. And it looks like somebody signed the shoes, begins with an M, so it might have been him, the designer of the shoe who signed it. I think here's what has people, including myself, upset about this.
Oh, he did it after the game?
He did it after the game.
Oh.
He did it after the game. We found it during the post-game show, and we looked at what the timestamp was. He put it on his stories.
Yeah.
We looked at what the timestamp was, and it coincided with when he would have been walking back in the locker room, if Instagram is correct. And here's the thing. Not only is it like, wow, the first thing Laremy wants to do is grab his phone and post a picture of his shoes. At least that's what it appears. He had the time to put music underneath. He put Texas Hold'em by Beyonce underneath it, too.
Yeah.
He had time to hit the little button to find a song and put it under there.
My guess would be it was a scheduled tweet or a scheduled post.
Oh, okay.
And maybe his brand manager did it or something. But again,
it goes
a little bit more into the tone deafness of what really matters here, man. And what
my take is unchanged.
Right. Like I don't. If it was when he was walking, he didn't do all that right in the moment. But he would have scheduled it, which is still do that before the game or whatever. It doesn't feel very good.
At the very least, olds like me envision him walking in there and grabbing his phone.
Right.
Finding a Beyonce song to put underneath.
Well,
you're right. I'm sure it was scheduled.
Look, you and I make our living. You know, we get paid because sponsors pay the station or pay us or whatever. So, there's times sometimes where, we're contractually obligated to tweet things, and it feels like, oh, this is the wrong time to tweet this, but I got to do it. The amount of money that either we or Laremy make from that kind of stuff pales in comparison to the salary of an offensive tackle in the National Football League. What's your core business?
Yes.
You know, what is your core business? Your core business is playing football.
What is your why?
Yeah. There is nothing on the offense that feels gritty or tough or right.
Nothing.
And I would say the leaders on the offense, I mean, we watched Dalton Schultz just kind of seem to lackadaisically work his way through football games. The offensive tackles do not care nearly as much about the run game as they do their PFF passing grades. There's a lot of things on that offense right now that just aren't right, and Bobby Slowick is not excused from any of it.
No.
I'm just saying there's multiple things that just don't feel right about the offense.
Amen.
And I do, and I think CJ's younger than we thought he was. I'm done. I don't need any more life lessons from a 23-year-old philosophizing about various things or anything like that. He's a young quarterback. And there's some growing up.
And that's fine.
There's some growing up that he's got that needs to be done. And this next offseason, I don't want to see it. I don't have the. I'll be a grumpy old man about those guys being on podcasts all the time and everything. I fought it and fought it and fought it. I fought thinking that it was cringy when CJ big broed Caleb Williams, but man, that's a cringy moment now. His little talk while he was mic'd up to Caleb Williams. Saying, don't worry about those mistakes you made. He's got to take his own advice now, man.
Okay. 12 picks, man.
He's not a made man anymore.
He's not a made man. Nope.
Yeah.
He's not. Hopefully they can figure something out before the postseason. All right, heading into the 8 o'clock hour. Did the Texans win an MVP yesterday for somebody not on the Texans? We will discuss that coming up next.